I'm Shauna Olson with KFGO, and I'm here with Jerry Stucka, and he is with NDSU. And Jerry, let's talk a little bit about your position here. Tell us about it.
Thanks, Shauna. Yeah, I'm in a position here at NDSU called Livestock Stewardship. It's actually housed in the Department of Animal Sciences. It was a new position created, worked on some time ago, but actually I took this position almost a year ago, in fact, about a year ago. And really what it is, it's an attempt by the state of North Dakota and NDSU and other allied groups to have a person in a position that maybe is able to relate the story of agriculture, to relate the story of what we do, not just on the crop side, but for me primarily on the livestock side. The fact that we produce food from the ground, whether crops or whether it's in cattle or whatever species we're dealing with. And so that's my goal, is to tell our story. And what one of my real goals with this position, though, is not to just reach out to our producers, the people who are already doing this, but to our consumers as well. So that's why you and I are having this conversation. I want to gain a wider audience.
Yeah, it's a big deal because people really have a lot of questions nowadays about where their food comes from. You don't see it in your backyard anymore like you used to.
That's exactly right. And what I read and hear and see is that there's a lot of misinformation that becomes part of our discussion. And it's too bad because in many cases people are being told the wrong thing or perhaps being told a half of a truth, and that's not good for us. It's not good for our population. It's not good for agriculture either.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the things you see out there as far as the biggest misnomers that are out there in agriculture, especially with livestock?
Yeah, one of the things that I see often is somehow that livestock, and in this case cattle, are contributing to global warming, that their carbon footprint is too large. And I don't know when all of this discussion exactly began that we measure the amount of carbon that's emitted into the atmosphere. But I can tell you that the estimates that came out some time ago, maybe as long as 2 years ago, it first came out in a UN report, have absolutely been disproven. It's not true. It's not true that the inputs that they talked about that are used to produce beef, it's many-fold less than what it was talked about. And what we need to remember is that our beef cattle serve a very important function for us. They take material that you and I as humans cannot eat, cannot utilize, and albeit in the form of grass, which is where our beef production begins. And for the majority, really, of their life are spent eating grass, and we can't utilize it, and they do. And they turn it into a product that we get to utilize. It's palatable. Very delicious, I might add. And it's nutrient dense. I'll take that trade-off any day of the week.
No kidding. You know, and now we're coming into July here, and typically like we see is some hot, some humid weather. We're talking 90s the next couple of days, and some humidity as well. And I would imagine that can cause some stress on our critters as well.
Yeah, it can, Shauna. We need to be aware as good stewards of our livestock that they can exhibit signs of heat stress. We can even have heat stress out on pastures, which is a little unusual, but it can if the temperature and humidity reach a certain level. And so what you need to be aware of is, do the cattle have access to enough water? Have they got space to spread out? Are they too tightly confined? If we're working cattle in high temperatures, can we change the time when we're working them? Can we work them early in the morning or even perhaps later in the evening? Anything we can do to increase the space, make sure that if there is wind blowing where they have a little hill to get above, that they have a windbreak they can get away from to get a little wind, and make sure that they've got clean and fresh water. And what happens more often is if in our confined animal situations, do they have, is there wind that's available to those animals? Is there plenty of fresh water available? And if heat stress is still an issue, do I have some preparedness that I can go out there and cool those animals down in some way? It might mean actually watering the pen or watering the animals themselves. Just be thinking about heat stress during this time and have some plans to at least mitigate that heat stress.
Yeah, be on top of it early and get started early if need be.
That's exactly right, because heat stress is actually a cumulative event. In other words, 1 day or even 2 days really doesn't cause that much issue. It's when heat stress is prolonged for some period of time over several days, And when the evenings don't cool down very well, we're very fortunate in North Dakota that our evenings tend to cool down. We're in the 50s maybe and 60s, and that really helps to mitigate this heat stress. But if you see signs, be prepared to deal with it.
Okay, and you've had this position for about a year. Tell us how this came about, this position.
Well, that's actually a good question. You know, I wasn't privy to the beginning discussion of how this position came about, but apparently there was enough support within the state with our allied groups like North Dakota Stockmen's and others, and they gained support within the North Dakota legislature to fund this position, and of course NDSU was behind this. And so they created this position, they funded this position, and then they looked for someone to fill this position. I happen to be a veterinarian, doesn't have to be a veterinarian in this position, but that has some experience within the livestock industry and within agriculture to kind of look at the big picture, if you will, all the way from beef production at the cow-calf level to what ends up on people's plates and consumer awareness and consumer demographics. And hopefully I can fulfill the goals of that position, and we're sure going to try.
Yeah, I bet you've been enjoying it.
I really have. I really have. And I've noticed that our producers really buy into the idea of having someone that can tell their story. And I hope their story also helps to rebuild the trust and respect with our consumers. Because I believe that because of some of the misinformation we've had over the last number of years, we've kind of lost our communication with them, and so we need to restore that.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Jerry Stucco with NDSU. I know you're a good Norwegian, so maybe you want to pronounce your name for me the right way.
Yeah, my last name is Stucco, and we are Norwegian. My ancestors did come from Norway, and if you have a good Norwegian accent, you can use this pronunciation, the Stucco. Not Stucco, but Stucco.
I like it. Very good. Thanks for letting me come out here and check out the facility today at NDSU.